In which case, Glaucon, you should bear in mind that we won't after all be doing an injustice to those who become philosophers in our city. There will be justice in what we say to them when we compel them to look after and guard what belongs to other people. It is fair enough, we shall say to them, for philosophers in other cities not to take a share of the work in those cities. Their philosophy is a spontaneous growth which arises despite the institutions of the particular city they live in, and what has developed naturally, indebted to nobody for its upbringing, is entitled to be unenthusiastic about paying anyone for its upbringing. But with you, it's different. We produced you as guides and rulers, both to yourselves and to the rest of the city, like leaders or kings in a hive of bees. You have been better and more fully educated than the rest, and are better able to play your part in both types of life, so you must go down, each of you in turn, to join the others in their dwelling place. You must get used to seeing in the dark, and when you do get used to it, you will see 1,000 times better than the people there do. You will be able to identify all the images there, and know what they are images of, since you have seen the truth of what is beautiful and just and good. In this way, the government of the city, for us and for you, will be a waking reality rather than the kind of dream in which most cities exist nowadays, governed by people fighting one another over shadows and quarrelling with one another about ruling, as if ruling were some great good. The truth is, I imagine, that the city in which those who are to rule are most reluctant to do so will inevitably be the city which has the best and most stable government, whereas the city with rulers of the opposite kind will have a government of the opposite kind. Exactly, he said. Will they disobey us then, do you think, these people we have brought up? Will they refuse to do their share of work in the city, each group in its turn, even though they can still spend most of their time in each other's company in the clear air above? They can't possibly refuse. It's a just demand, and they are just people. But they will undoubtedly approach ruling, each one of them, as something unavoidable, just the opposite of the people who rule in every city at the moment. That's right, my friend. It's like this. If you can find a better life than ruling for the people who are going to be your rulers, then your well-governed city becomes a possibility. It will be the only city ruled by those who are truly rich, not rich in money, but in a good and wise life. The riches needed for good fortune. If you get beggars, people who are starved of good things in their own lives, going into public life because they believe that the good is something to be taken from there as plunder, then your city is not a possibility. Ruling becomes something to be fought over, and a war of this kind, domestic and internal, destroys both those involved in it and the rest of the city with them. Very true, he said. All right, then. Can you think of any life, apart from the life of true philosophy, which has a contempt for public office? Good heavens, no. But ruling must be courted only by those who are not in love with her. Otherwise, they will have rival suitors to contend with. Of course. And if you're going to compel people to enter upon the guardianship of the city, who better than those who are wisest in these matters, in what will give the city the best government, and who have their own rewards and their own way of life, better than the political? There is no one better, he said.